Well, it's Stacey Cole and Carol Hughes. Carol is stepping in for the Tony role. Hi, Carol. It's been a while.
Playing the part of Tony Bruschi today is me, Carol Hughes.
You know, we're going to plunge you into the world of murder. And we do this to you every time Tony goes on vacation. Like, you are on the ghost story side of life. And then we just throw you over to, here's murder, you know?
I know. I do 3 murder episodes with Tony a week. And the rest of my day is spent talking about paranormal stuff. So it is a really weird life.
It is weird. It really is weird. And today we are talking about Stephen Stearns. If you don't know who this creep is, and I say that lovingly, he is the one who allegedly murdered Madeline Soto. Madeline was, I believe she had just turned 13 years old. Was dropped off at school the morning of February 26, 2024, and never seen again. She was dropped off at school by Stephen Stearns, who is her mom's live-in boyfriend. We'll go through the story, but I just wanted to give a little background on it. He actually acted like he didn't do anything wrong when he was first interviewed. They had done an interview with a TV station. He was pleading with the public, you know, we just want her back. He's the one who allegedly killed her. He was caught
that
on camera, on a surveillance camera, with a what looked like a slumped over body in his car, and it was her. Psychopath. How much do you know about this story? Have you seen any of it?
Quite a bit. Because he was, I believe, abusing her.
Yes.
Before he killed her. And so it just breaks my heart that this little girl had no one to protect her from him, suffered horrific abuse, and then her little life ended like it did. And it's just so tragic. It's so tragic.
It's absolutely repulsive. I mean, that's really the only way to describe it. It's sick. He had been abusing her for years. Basically, I'll dive into the story. We'll just dive into it. He said, I wish I had run downstairs and shaken her awake and called 911 and all that. That line came from basically a jailhouse call with his parents. It was a total deviation from what he claimed all along, that he had dropped off 13-year-old Madeline Soto at school the morning of February 26th and never saw her again. But now, months after his arrest, locked in the Osceola County Jail, speaking a bit too freely, he admitted something huge, that he found Madeline's body, that he was there, he saw her face, her blue lips, her ice-cold skin, and yet his words, they were calm and almost rehearsed, like he was recounting a scene in a book he had just read, not describing the death of a child he had allegedly assaulted and murdered. He said, she had gone to be with me earlier in the night, he told his father.
Oh, now that pisses me off right there.
Yes.
Because he's got this in his head that she's some willing participant in this. She had gone to be with him.
Yeah.
No, God.
They slept in the same bed frequently.
And the mom, I think the mom needs to be charged in this because you know if your daughter is in the same bed. You know it.
Well, a lot of times she absolutely knew what was happening. She would actually sleep on the couch while the two were in the bed.
My God, that's so sick.
It is. He told his father, but I'd left her alone for quite a while. By the time I realized it was far too late, she was past the point of no return. Now, this is the first time that he publicly acknowledged being in the same house with Madeline at the time of her death. It's also the first time he stopped pretending that he wasn't. Now, he had to have known that the jails record these calls, that nothing you say is private. He had to have known this.
Did he just forget? I mean, but you hear this all the time, these people on these jailhouse calls thinking they're talking in code or they make some admission. It's like, you gotta remember they're listening to you, or do you just forget?
I think maybe he just forgot. Maybe he's that stupid. He had recordings and pictures on his cell phone. And when it came time for police to actually look at his phone, he wiped it. Well, really? Have you not listened to any Dateline episodes? That stuff doesn't go away. It's stored, you fool.
But he's
just
not
because
smart.
You delete something doesn't mean it's deleted.
Right.
Oh, God, these people are so stupid. So Court TV obtained 4 hours of recorded jail calls. We hear Stearns move from denial to vague admissions, surrounded by justifications, sidesteps, and increasingly disturbing commentary. It's like eavesdropping on a man who can't quite decide whether he wants to clear his name or just shift the blame somewhere else that's more convenient. Now, the calls were made about 3 months after his arrest are with his parents, Deborah and Chris Stearns. And while they start off as kind of supportive, if awkward, the chats you would expect from shell-shocked parents trying to hold it together, they quickly devolve into something else, uncomfortable reminders of what he is accused of doing. Now, when they bring up the digital evidence, the sexually explicit images of Maddie on his phone, his response isn't what you'd expect from someone who's claiming to be innocent. When asked directly, I think it was by his mom, if he is attracted to minors, he doesn't say no. He says he isn't generally attracted to them. He adds that he can't say more without incriminating himself. So he does realize somebody's listening.
Yeah.
This guy's a freaking idiot. Oh, my God. Well, and here's the worst part. This is going to make everybody cringe. He makes a chilling remark that Madeline had feelings for him and that her mother, Jen Soto, used to joke, "You better not leave me for my daughter when she's older."
Oh, my God. That's disgusting. And even, like, even if she was joking and said that, that's not funny.
It's
like
not
that
funny.
Could ever come out of your mouth. It isn't like there's a truth to that, though. He was after her daughter.
Yeah. Now, Jen Soto hasn't been charged with anything related to Madeline's abuse
Should
or death.
Be.
She says she didn't know what was happening, but she did allow her daughter to sleep in the same bed as Stearns. And that's something that she has admitted.
Now, why do you think he wants to sleep in the same bed as this girl? I mean, come on. She knew
what the hell
was happening.
You know, it's one thing. I remember as a kid, if we had a raging thunderstorm, I grew up in South Dakota and Minnesota, and we would just get viciously loud storms. And I would go, like, when I was out in South Dakota visiting my dad, if it was a bad storm and I was scared overnight, I would go sleep in his bed. But, like, that was it. There
and
had to be a thunderstorm.
Kid stuff, yeah.
Yeah. But it's just weird. This is just gross and weird.
Yes, yes.
So the Stearns calls, they're full of odd priorities. While facing over 60 counts, get this, 60 counts of sexual abuse, capital murder, and possession of child sexual abuse material, he spends a surprising amount of time bitching about itchy blankets, bad coffee, and jailhouse ants. He's worried about the effects of jail on his skin. He complains about anxiety meds. He wants better lotion for his worry lines. And he misses his collectible purple dragon popcorn bucket.
What is he, five?
Yeah, no shit. He is genuinely concerned about the whereabouts of his mouse droid, which is a Star Wars-themed toy, and gets so irritated trying to explain what it is when he tells his parents to just Google it. Then there's the coffee. Coffee is very comforting, he says. Every time I drink a cup of coffee, it releases all types of happy chemicals in my brain. He then is asking for Michael Crichton novels, toiletries, hard candies. But his mom is drawing the line at Pet Cemetery because she didn't like that story. At this point, does it matter? Does it matter? Your son is in jail for allegedly sexually abusing and murdering a child. Give him the damn book.
Well, no, I wouldn't. I'd be sending him like shit like Hardy Boys or something. He wouldn't want to read in My Little Pony. Just stupid ass kids books. It's like, you're not going to read anything interesting.
You know, one minute he is waxing poetic about the joys of instant coffee, and the next he's defending himself from the kind of charges that can end in a needle. His parents plead with him to read the Bible. He tells them he's not a monster. He cries at movies. He's a good person, he insists. I know I'm not bad or evil or a monster. I couldn't have done it. But then he admits, murder one is about as bad as it can get. And the death penalty is as extreme as it can go. And a moment later, I guess that's not so bad, right? You go to sleep and then you go to heaven. That's a direct quote from him.
You think?
You think that's him like a sick dog.
Yeah.
I don't know. The murder trial is set for September. His first trial for the sex abuse charges is scheduled for May of this year. I don't know. They're trying to bar the media and the public from pretrial hearings, claiming that the coverage is prejudicial. A judge says a decision will be coming within about 10 days, and that was like a day or two ago. I don't know where this is going to go. The guy, this is, to me, a cut and dry case. They just need to go through the formality. I hope he never sees the light of day again.
Oh, I'm with you. I'm with you. And I think people like him tell themselves, you know, a totally different narrative that, like, she likes him or she wants this as well. And she's certainly capable of making her own decisions. Not ever even thinking about the whole grooming process, everything he's done to her to manipulate her and lie to her. And then the mom, too. Now, I'm not saying the mom is a victim by any means. I think the mom should be held accountable because she allowed this to happen. Because she should have known that little girl sleeping with him was not right. She was not in the room to protect her daughter. Yeah. And that just pisses me off. But I think people like him, they just tell themselves this whole other narrative. Just, and maybe you have to be able to live with what a piece of shit you are. But to me, it's like he's just going to be in denial. And no, he's given himself permission and reasons why it was okay.
I'm wondering about the Star Wars toys. I'm a big Star Wars fan, and I have collectible things and weird stuff sitting on my desk. And it seems weird to me to be obsessing about a toy when you are accused of killing a child.
Yeah.
Something feels really off about him.
And
there's something
you're never going to see that toy again. So who gives a shit? Because you're in jail and you're staying there.
Yeah.
Period. And maybe we'll sell it if we can make some money. You know, it's like that is so ridiculous. There's a little girl who is dead.
Is he mentally stunted? Does he still think that he's a kid himself?
Maybe. I mean,
something's weird here.
Something is weird. He's just a horrible person. That's what it is.
It's disgusting.
You're locked into the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.